All right, turn to Genesis chapter 1. I know we normally turn to two scriptures, but we're only going to turn to one passage today, although we'll go through quite a few other passages later in the message. This is really part two to last week. If you didn't get to hear last week's message, go online and listen to it, because last week we talked about Satan's greatest desire, and it's important to understand what our enemy's objective is. But this week is more important, because this week is God's greatest desire. What is God's greatest desire? If God has a desire, and he does, what is his desire? What is his greatest desire? So this is really kind of part two to last week's message, all right? So 3 points again. I'm going to tell you 3 things about God's greatest desire. Here's number one. God made me from him. God made me from or out of him. It's very, very important for us to understand this. Now, let me make a statement before we read this scripture in Genesis 1. And it's important that we catch this truth to understand what the Lord wants to show us through the whole message, all right? When God wanted something, he spoke to what he wanted it to come out of or to come from, okay? Now, I know that's not really good grammar, but it's good theology, all right? So stay with me, because we're going to build on this truth, and in a moment, you're going to have one of those aha moments, all right? So when God wanted something, when he was making things in Genesis 1 during the 6 days of creation, when God wanted to make something, he spoke to what he wanted it, whatever it was he was making, to come from, and I'm going to add a little bit to that, and to be sustained by and to return to, all right? Now, let me make a distinction here also, because many people have never seen this distinction in Genesis 1. God created some things, and he made some things. Some things he created, and some things he made. And let me tell you the definition. Now, we use this word create a lot. We say, you know, I created that. And according to the English definition of the word create, then when we really do create, and obviously we were created by a created God, creative God, so we have creative juices in us. But according to the theological definition of the word create, we really don't create. We only make. Let me tell you what the theological definition of the word create is: to form something out of nothing. To form something out of nothing. In other words, God said, let there be light. And there was light. He created it. To make something is to form something out of something else. And that's really all we do. In other words, if I were at your home and you do pottery and you said, come here, let me show you something, I created that vase. Actually, you did not create it. You made it. You formed it from clay. You did not say, let there be a vase. And there was a vase. You follow me? Okay, so God created some things out of nothing, but he made some things. He made things from something, and what he made it from is very important for us to understand, okay? So let me say that statement one more time, then I'm going to show you some scripture. When God wanted something, he spoke to what he wanted it to come from or to come out of, to be sustained by what it came from, and then to return to that. Okay, let me show you some examples. Genesis 1, verse 11, and I paraphrase this verse for us just to talk about it. It says, then God said, let the earth bring forth, and I'm paraphrasing, grass and plants and herbs and trees. Okay, that's some of the things that he kind of names in that verse. Let the earth bring forth trees. Okay, God did not say, let there be trees, because he was making them. He was forming them from dirt. Here's what God said. Let the earth, all these begin with let, the word let. Let there be light. Then he says, let the earth. So he's speaking to the earth. And when he spoke to the earth listened. And in essence, what he said was, earth, bring forth. Earth, produce. Trees, and plants and herbs produce. Earth, do this. So here's the reason. God wants plants to come from dirt, to be sustained by dirt, and to go back to dirt. It's very important for us to understand that, all right? In verse 20, he said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures. Fish are sustained by water. Verse 24, then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures. Animals are sustained by dirt. They come from the dirt in essence, even though they reproduce. If they come from the dirt, they're made of dirt, they'll go back to the dirt. Okay, here's why this is important. When God wanted something, he spoke to what he wanted it to come from or to be made out of. Okay, this is why it's important. Because of verse 26. When God wanted man, he spoke to himself. Verse 26 says, then God said, let us make man. After our likeness, according to our image, after our image. Okay, here's the point. Let us make man. We came from God. We are sustained by God, and we go back to God. It's very, very important to understand this. And here's what many people, they get confused. They say, well, you even talked about it last week because God formed us out of the dirt. God made us from the dirt. No. God made my body from the dirt. My body came from dirt, is sustained by dirt, and goes back to dirt. But my spirit came from God, is sustained by God, and goes back to God. We came from God. My body came from the dirt. My body is sustained by dirt. My body is sustained by fruits and vegetables and ice cream and things like that that come from dirt. Cows eat grass. Cows make milk. We get ice cream from milk. Therefore, ice cream is healthy. When you think about it, ice cream really is processed salad. Would you agree? Isn't it great to talk about ice cream on the weekend you're ending a fast? I wonder how much the sales of Bluebell ice cream will go up this weekend. Okay, so my body came from dirt. It's sustained by dirt, goes back to dirt, but my spirit came from God. Okay, what would happen if a plant said to the dirt, I'm pulling out? I'm going to make it on my own. Okay, what would happen? It died. Listen, man said to God, I'm pulling out. I'm going to make it on my own. God said, the day you do, you'll die. Our bodies didn't die because our bodies came from dirt. I've been asked that by theological students. Why didn't Adam and Eve die? God said, if you eat the fruit, you'll die. They did die. Not their bodies. Their spirits. Although our spirits then affected our bodies. And we did begin to die physically as well. But let me just show you some scriptures. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you he made alive. You he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead. John 10:10, I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. We focus on the second part of the verse. We say, God came that we may have life more abundantly. That's true. But listen, Jesus came that we might have life. Amen. That's right. We're not even alive without him. Okay, so we're trying to figure out what God's greatest desire is. And the first thing we need to know is that we came from God. God made me from him. Okay, here's the second thing. God made me like him. God made me like him. Okay, I'm trying to figure out what God's greatest desire is, and he made a replica of himself. God made Adam in his image after his likeness, according to his likeness. So, This is when there's no sin in the world at this point, okay? There's no sin in the world. Adam looks like God, talks like God, walks like God, thinks like God, acts like God. He has not sinned yet. He's never had an impure thought. So he looks just like God. He acts like God. He walks like God. He talks like God. God made someone after his likeness, according to in his image, according to his likeness, all right? And Adam has a desire. And I'm going to show you the desire. If you want to look, Genesis 2, look at verse 20. It says, so Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. Okay, why would the Bible tell us that? Except that Adam was looking for a helper. Comparable, he was looking for a companion. Someone he could share his life with. So he's down there, it's kind of like this. We don't have all this, but I think something, conversation like this happened. Adam goes to God and says, you know, I'm lonely. I mean, I got all the garden, everything's great, but you know, and I talk to you, but there's something I want, and I don't know what I want, but I want something. There's a desire in my heart. And God said something like this. Well, I did everything in 6 days. I didn't have time to name all the animals. What could you do this for me? Name the animals, and while you're naming the animals, see if you like any of them. I mean, it's something like that, because he was looking. Why would it say there was not found if he wasn't looking? See, he's looking. So the animals are coming by, and, you know, he probably looked at the hippopotamus. And he probably thought something like this. She's big, but she'd be warm in the winter. So he's looking for the animals, and he goes to sleep. Right? He goes to sleep. And he's looking for a companion. And when he wakes up, there's this new animal there. And he says, whoa, man. That's how she got her name, by the way, if you don't know. Personally, I think it's the first time the words, thank you, Jesus, were ever uttered. Okay. Wow. I like her. I like this one. She looks like me. And she's beautiful. By the way, it's interesting, when God made man, the Hebrew word there for formed, it uses in the English, it's the same. He formed man and he formed woman. But it's in the English, it's the same word, formed. But in Hebrew, it's different words. For the word God formed man, this is what it means. Literally in the Hebrew, it means squeezed. The word form in the Hebrew for woman is fashioned. I'm glad he fashioned them, personally. But for us, it... Okay. You're done. Okay, but he sees this woman, and he names her woman. By the way, woman in Hebrew, listen, it means out of man. Okay, God made us from him, out of him. He makes woman out of man, from man. Okay, now listen to me. How did God know that the only thing that would satisfy Adam's heart's desire was a bride? How did God know that? I mean, why didn't God make him a remote control? I mean, men love remote controls. What? How did God know? Think about this. I'm trying to figure out what God's greatest desire is. Okay? And God makes someone exactly like he is, who walks like he walks, no sin in the world now at this point, who talks like he talks, thinks like he thinks, desires like he desires. He makes someone exactly like he is, and the one he makes wants something. So how did God know that the only thing that would satisfy Adam's desire was a bride? How did he know? Because he'd had the same desire. Okay, you want to know what God's greatest desire is? And we're going to keep going the message, but let me just let the cat out of the bag. You know what God's greatest desire is? You. You're God's greatest desire. Okay, think about it this way. God's going to give his son something. But what do you get someone who has everything? a companion, a bride, someone to share his life with. Listen, God wants to share his life with you. He wants to marry you. He wants to spend every day with you. He wants to get to know you. He wants to talk to you. And he created you with a will, because only a person with a will can love. A robot can't love. If he had created robots and programmed us, we would have said, we love God. But it wouldn't have been in our hearts. So he created you with a choice, so you can choose to love God. You know, it's not love if you tie your wife to a chair and tell her, you have to love me. Okay, I love you. Just untie me and I'll show you how much. She has to choose. So God made me like him. Here's number three. God made me to love him. God made me to love him. We're the bride of Christ. You've got Adam and Eve, a man and a woman, a marriage, and you've got Jesus and his bride. So, and we talked about worship, and we're talking about worship in this Love Expressed series. So Satan's greatest desire is to be worshiped. Is that God's greatest desire? No, it's not to be worshiped, it's to be loved. It's to love and to be loved. It's you, God, your God's greatest desire. But worship is a pathway to express our love to God. See, when I say to Debbie, I love you, there's no one I would rather be with than you. I would die so that you could live. Okay, what am I doing? I'm expressing love. I'm expressing my love. That's what worship is. When we get in a worship service to come together, or in your quiet time, or driving down the road, you say to God, I love you. You're expressing your love. Now, let me tell you something about God that you may not know, but it's very, very important. God is a giver. That's his nature. Okay. So God cannot receive without giving. He can't do it. If it comes in, it's going to go back out. That's his nature. When we were growing up, you probably played this game too. Did you ever play the game chase or tag okay. I hated the game because I was always it. And I was slow. I don't know why. I just couldn't catch someone. And so I was always it. And I always wanted to make the rule at the first of the game, no touchbacks. Because I would finally catch someone and say, you're it. And I'd turn around to go, and before I could go, they'd say, you're it. And when I turn back around, they'd be gone. They just touch me out. Okay, now, in a good way, that's the way God is. If you touch God, he touches you back. This is why it's so important to make a connection with God when we come to church. Because if you'll simply touch him, he'll touch you back. Remember the woman who had the issue of blood. She touched the hem of his garment. Immediately she was healed. But she wasn't healed until she reached out and touched him, until she made an effort. Here's what's amazing to me. Sometimes people say to me, you know, I didn't get anything out of the service. Let me tell you why. You didn't give anything. Because if you give to God, he'll get back. Immediately he'll touch you back. It's immediate with God. Let me say this. This is a statement I hope you'd never forget. If you'll touch God in worship, he'll touch you in worship. If you'll touch God in prayer, he'll touch you in prayer. Here's what happens. I'm in worship and I say, I love you. He says, I love you too. Yes, there's no one I'd rather be with than you. There's no one I'd rather be with than you. I would die so that you could live. I did. I did die so you could live. That's worship. Worship is simply expressing our love to the one we're married to. That's it. And your life will go to a whole new level when you express your love to him, because he'll express his love to you. When you touch him, he'll touch you. Now, there is a phrase in the Bible. I've told you before that for the first few years of my walk with the Lord, If I think about the first 7 years, I went to Bible college, and even when I was in Bible college, I was traveling and preaching youth revivals and things. And so I just read the Bible a lot, and I just could not get enough of the Bible. The Bible has 1,189 chapters. It means if you read 10 chapters a day, you can go through the whole Bible in 4 months. You can go through it three times in a year. And I did that many, many times. And then there were a few times, it takes me about an hour to read 10 chapters. If you read 50 chapters a day, and obviously you have to be on vacation or something, but I was preaching revivals at night, so I had more time during the day. But if you read 50 chapters a day, you can go through the whole Bible in 24 days. And then a few times I was able, during a break time, like during a summertime, didn't have any meetings or anything where I could take a 2 week period, where if you read 100 chapters a day, you can go through the whole Bible in 12 days. And I was able to do that stuff. But as I'm going through the Bible over and over and over again, all of a sudden, this is when I begin to see this. God's greatest desire. And I saw a phrase in the Bible that you've seen the phrase, but you probably don't realize how many times it's in the Bible. And in my opinion, and there may be another phrase, I don't know for sure, but I don't know of one, but in my opinion, this is the most repeated phrase in the Bible. And it's like a secret code that runs all through the Bible. That when you get it, it's incredible. And so I'm gonna read you these verses. You don't need to turn to them. We'll put every one of them on the screen. But I'm gonna read you these verses, and I want you to, I know many of you like to write the references down. I'd rather you, if you can, just go back and get them, or, you know, so you can see them. So you can see them and hear them at the same time. But I want you to hear the heart cry of God through the whole Bible, all right? And just see if you get it, God's greatest desire. Exodus 6, verse 7, I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Leviticus 26, 12, I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. Jeremiah 7, 23, but this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Jeremiah 11, 4, so shall you be my people, and I will be your God. Jeremiah 24, verse 7, then I will give them a heart to know me. This is speaking of the new covenant, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Jeremiah 30, verse 22, you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Jeremiah 31, 33, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Ezekiel 11, 20, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Ezekiel 14, 11, that the house of Israel may no longer stray from me, nor be profaned anymore with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their God, says the Lord God. Ezekiel 36, 28, then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Ezekiel 37, 23, they shall not defile themselves anymore with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them. Then they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Ezekiel 37, 27, my tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hosea 2, 23, then I will say to those who are not my people, specifically speaking to Gentiles, you are my people, and they shall say, you are my God. Zechariah 8, 8, specifically speaking to Jews, I will bring them back, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. Zechariah 13, 9, they will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people, and each one will say, the Lord is my God. 2 Corinthians 6, 16, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hebrews 8, 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Revelation 21, 1 through 3, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Did you get it? It's all through the Bible. You don't know what God's greatest desire is? Let me say it this way. He wants to marry you and live happily ever after. And he's worked out all the details through grace that if we simply say yes, we become his bride. And all of our sins are washed away, removed from us as far as the east is from the west. He puts a new heart within us and a new spirit. And he writes his law on our minds and on our hearts and gives us the ability to walk with him and to be his bride. God's greatest desire is you. And worship is one of the main pathways to express our love to him. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. God loves you. God loves you. He created you to love him and to be loved by him. And when we all blew it, he sent his own son to take care of every time we ever blew it or ever will blow it. God's desire is us. He created someone in his image who had a desire. Adam's desire was for a bride. Where did he get that? He got that from Jesus. We want to pray for you. If you're going through any type of a difficulty, we want to pray for you. No matter which campus you're attending or if you're in an overflow room. In just a moment, we're going to have one more worship song. And during this time, we're going to express our love to the Lord. But during that worship song, it's just one more song, and then we'll be dismissed. We're going to have leaders at the front of every campus and at the front of every overflow room. And if you need prayer for any area of your life, then just step out and come. Come to one of the leaders at the front, and don't be embarrassed. You don't have to be a member of Gateway Church. No one's going to think anything bad about you because most of us here have at some time or another come for prayer, or we've asked someone to pray for us. All of us have done that. So if you need prayer for any area of your life, and especially if you need to give your life to God or give your life back to God, you can do that during this time. So after I pray, we'll stand at every campus, and if you need prayer for any area of your life, you just step out and come. And if you're at a smaller campus and you think, well, it's just not as many people, or if you're at the larger campus and you think, well, it's too many people, don't let the devil stop you from expressing your love to God and receiving prayer in whatever area you need prayer, okay? Holy Spirit, I pray you'll draw every person at every campus that needs prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.